This is an iHeart podcast.
Hunter Biden's guilty plea, another left-wing op, illegal immigration crime. We have so much for you. I don't know how we're going to fit it all in on I'm Right. Hunter Biden's guilty. I mean, we knew that. But the news of the day today is Hunter Biden is pleading guilty. Now, I'm not going to get into all the stupid legal terms, but here's what you need to understand about the guilty plea. He's saying the charges are overwhelming and I'm going to be convicted, but I'm not admitting guilt. But all that's really water under the bridge. He is going to get a sentence. They're going to decide exactly how long his prison term is going to be. And you probably remember how many times Joe Biden and his people went out and made public statements. Joe Biden said this himself, but this is Korean diversity hires saying, I'm not going to pardon him.
You said from the podium that President Biden would not pardon his son. If Vice President Harris is elected, would he tell her also to not pardon?
I mean, that's a hypothetical that I look, the president, I could speak for the president, and he said he would not pardon his son. And I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay. Let's get past all the kid game stuff here. Joe Biden's going to pardon Hunter Biden. Almost undoubtedly, this was a deal that has been in the works since they were trying to shove Joe Biden out of the race. Remember how Joe Biden was digging in his heels and they kept sending every Democrat under the sun to the White House to threaten him, beg him to drop out of the race? Pelosi, Schumer, Chris Coons, they just had him lined up at the door trying to, Joe, please leave. Did you think a political operator as experienced as Joe Biden wasn't going to get some things on the back end of that deal? Of course he was going to get some things. You know how this works. I know how this works. All this stuff, we all woke up today, we saw the news, whoa, Hunter Biden! But they've already known all these things. All this was part of the plan. So how's this work from here? Most likely, this is just a prediction, they have to go through the sentencing stuff, and then Dome will have to complete her election because Democrats will understand that it'll look bad if Joe pardons his dirtball son before the election. That might cause a little dip in the polls, so they won't do it before the election. And then you're going to wake up the Wednesday morning after Election Day, and Joe Biden, of course, going to pardon his son, commute his sentence, whatever way you want to put it. Hunter Biden is never going to see a single day in federal lockup the way you or I would. That's how all of this stuff works. And no, these people don't worry about keeping their word. Well, he said he wouldn't. Joe Biden has said that he's Polish. He said that he fought off a gang of black dudes at a pool with straight razors. Joe Biden has said that he taught the Second Amendment in college. Joe Biden has told huge, easily verifiable lies his entire career. And now that he's on the shady side of dead, sunning himself on the beach with his mouth hanging open, do you think he's going to turn into some bold truth teller? Of course he's going to let his son go. Of course this is all part of the deal. And remember, this is the exact same dirty DOJ who tried to get Hunter Biden off on charges scot-free. They had already put together the deal, not only to get him out of the charges, but to give him pretty much immunity from any other future crimes that they knew were coming. And the only reason that deal didn't go through is there was a judge in Delaware who was looking at it and saying, wait a minute, what? This is crazy, and the judge put a stop to it. They already tried to let him off scot-free. Laws are for the littles. Laws are for me, for you. These people don't have laws. So let's talk about that DOJ, shall we? Because there is something that frustrates me to no end. I've seen it happen so many times. And every time it happens, it's you know, have you ever seen one of those cartoons or movies where the guy's just bashing himself in the head out of frustration? You ever seen that scene before? This is what happens to me every time I see this. The left will never, ever, 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 under any circumstances, participate in a right-wing op. What's an op? Well, Walz, Tim Walz, it's a good example. Remember when he got in the race and it turned out he's a stolen valor, cowardly dirtball? Let me ask you a question, a real honest question. Did you see a single Democrat, elected Democrat, or left-wing dirty commie pundit on any channel, radio, anywhere, did you see a single left-winger pile on Tim Walz? One. Did you see one? All I'm asking for is one. Did you see a single one? Of course you didn't. No, you didn't. Well, yesterday, the big news of the day, it happened last night, was the DOJ / FBI brought down charges alleging, of course, Russian collusion, Russian payoff, and there's a bunch of right-wing pundits who are being wrapped up in the whole thing, not necessarily accused of things. Some of them are, some of them aren't. Here was Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland yesterday.
The American people are entitled to know when a foreign power is attempting to exploit our country's free exchange of ideas in order to send around its own propaganda. And that is what we alleged happened in this case.
Whether it's China, Iran, Russia, or any other country, attempts to meddle in our elections or destabilize our free and open society represent attacks on our democracy. And as long as foreign adversaries keep engaging in these hostile influence campaigns, they're going to keep running into the FBI.
Yeah, just some brave truth tellers there. And so it's not Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland doing what they do that has me frustrated. For the last 24 hours, I have seen, I don't want to say half, maybe that's unfair, a significant portion of right-wing pundits, TV, radio people, online people, for a laundry list of reasons, jump in and say, yep, I always knew these people were dirty. Figures, that's a dirt ball. Works for Russia. I knew it. Are you stupid? Or are you just jealous? Are you corrupt? I really want to know. This is so obviously a left-wing op. This is an op. This is an operation done by the very, very corrupt people at the DOJ and FBI. This is an operation that happens to drop right about the time early voting begins for the presidency, and right about the time the left is going to ramp up its Russian collusion narrative against the right. The DOJ, FBI happens to bring down a major public indictment on pundits on the right. And if you're on the right and you participate in this, you are a boot-licking, backstabbing loser, or you are a moron. Can you not see what is happening in front of your eyes? And look, I want to be clear. I have no idea about the validity of these charges. None. But after what you have seen and what I have seen over the past few years, the default position for any patriotic American citizen is DOJ's lying. FBI's lying. These people, remember this? Remember Merrick Garland? He said this yesterday in the same press conference.
Tomorrow is the first hearing in the January 6th case against the former president since the superseding indictment against him. He's called these new charges election interference and a violation of the Justice Department policy against doing something too close to the election. How do you respond to that, and how confident are you that your team has followed instructions from the Supreme Court following that decision this summer?
I stand by the actions of the special counsel. The superseding indictment is an effort to respond to the direct instructions of the Supreme Court as to how to effectuate a new indictment in an ongoing case. The special counsel is required by the regulations to follow the policies of the Justice Department, including the election sensitivities policies, and I'm quite confident that he did so.
In the same press conference, Merrick Garland defends illegal Jack Smith and his illegal prosecution of their political opponent 2 months before Election Day. And yet, half the pundits on our side are so full of jealousy. I don't know, maybe it's a jealousy thing. I wish I had that person's audience. I wish I had that person's paycheck. I don't know what it is, but watching the right gleefully participate in left-wing op after left-wing op, it's enough to make me bang my head off the desk. I can't believe it. I have this theory. Do you think that people who get to do what we do for a living, you know, TV, radio, whatever it is, do you think a lot of the people don't really believe? That's my suspicion. I think a lot of these people don't really believe in freedom. They don't really believe the government's evil. They don't really believe the institutions have been taken over. They know that that's what you believe, so, and what I believe, so that's what they say to us, but they don't really believe it. And so the second the DOJ comes down with charges, whether they're valid or not, they're just going to side with the DOJ as long as it's against somebody they happen to not like. That's what I suspect. I suspect we have a lot of pretenders on our side. Something to watch, man. I mean, Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, it's not as if he's hiding it. He's still on camera bragging about rounding up his political opponents.
Let me ask you about January 6th. Are you still pursuing January 6th cases?
We have, sir, any number of January 6th cases underway.
Former President Trump has referred to those who have been in prison or are facing trial as hostages. Do you see those individuals who took part in the January 6th riots as hostages?
I see the defendants in the January 6th cases as criminal defendants who are being charged with federal crimes and are in front of independent courts as part of our legal system.
But hey, now that they came down with some charges against somebody you don't like, maybe you want his little radio gig? Of course, the DOJ is some truth tellers. We have got some backstabbing, bootlicking losers on our side, I'm telling you what. Remember when Merrick Garland tried to explain why he couldn't seem to track down those people who were firebombing pro-life centers?
I will say you're quite right. There are many more prosecutions with respect to the blocking of the abortion centers, but that is generally because those actions are taken with photography at the time, during the daylight, and seeing the person who did it is quite easy. Those who are attacking the pregnancy resources centers, which is a horrid thing to do, are doing this at night in the dark. We have put full resources on this.
Oh, well, they're doing it in the dark. But hey, those same people, as of yesterday, September 4th, they turned into brave, bold truth tellers. Law enforcement guys just out there doing the right thing. God, jeez. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. You know what makes me comfortable? Laughing. Laughing at dirty commies. Do you like to laugh at dirty commies? Matt Walsh has a movie coming out called Am I Racist? Where he goes undercover as this DEI expert. He of course, had to wear some stupid man bun in his hair. And it's great. And your entire family will enjoy it and go. It's the family outing you've been looking for. Stop supporting Dirtball Hollywood. Support a company that's putting out entertainment that's good and family-friendly and educational as well. It's revealing. Go enjoy it and laugh until you cry. Go pre-order tickets now because it helps them. AmIRacist.com is where you go do that. All right? We'll be back.
There's no evidence that Hunter Biden has done anything wrong.
There is no evidence of any wrongdoing between by Biden, by Joe Biden, or by Hunter Biden.
There's no evidence that Joe Biden actually did anything wrong or did anything to sway things in Hunter Biden's favor. He's denied that his son ever lobbied him for anything. There is nothing wrong that Vice President Biden did.
President Trump has falsely accused your son of doing something wrong while serving on a company board in Ukraine. I want to point out there's no evidence of wrongdoing by either one of you.
There is no evidence that anybody did anything illegal regarding the Bidens and Ukraine, and Joe Biden was carrying out U.S. policy.
Man, no evidence. I don't know how they got that guilty plea. Joining me now, Vince Colonnese. He is the host of the Vince Colonnese Show. Vince, where did all this evidence come from? I was told repeatedly there was no evidence.
I think a lot of it came from Hunter Biden's laptop, which has been in the possession of the United States federal government for now. We're approaching a decade now, I think, of the evidence that they've had. Yeah, they've had this evidence all along. You know, everything from 10% for the big guy, treating his dad as the chairman, you know, a dad jumping on phone calls with all of his business partners, greasing the tracks for millions of dollars from places like Ukraine and China, and the wife of the Moscow mayor. There's an endless trail of evidence that leads back to Joe Biden and using his jobs in the federal government in corrupt ways to enrich his family. But what we lack is curiosity. The mainstream press has no interest whatsoever in the story, continues not to be up to this very day. And that includes while Joe Biden is not even in the running anymore for the next president of the United States.
Vince, this looks to me, I just said it in the open, this looks to me like an obvious thing. They're going to go ahead and get the conviction out of the way so Joe Biden can get the pardon out of the way as they wheel him out the back door. But please correct me if I'm wrong. Am I missing something?
I don't think you're missing anything. In fact, this makes all the sense in the world for a bunch of reasons. So today, and even in the way it's being described, he's like, oh, he's pleading guilty. Not exactly. It's like a weird technicality they're working on. There's something called an Alford plea, apparently. And essentially, he's going to say, I'm innocent, but the evidence sure makes me look guilty. So I'll just go with that. That's the claim he's trying to make today. And here's what we know. One, it's going to end up saving the Biden family a ton of money that they would have to spend in a courtroom, so they're not spending it now. And two, we all know that Joe Biden is going to pardon this guy. It's not like he's going to let his son take the fall for this. So a pardon is coming. And what that also means is, remember that sweetheart plea deal that was built to make Hunter Biden, all of his problems go away? Well, Joe's going to come through in the end. Unless Joe kicks it before the pardon comes through, Hunter Biden's going to get out of here with a pardon. And so that's you know, clearly, everybody with two brain cells to rub together can see where this story's headed.
Yeah, might want to put a rush on that. All right, let's talk about this Russian thing that dropped down yesterday, courtesy of the DOJ, FBI. Honestly, the details of the whole thing, I really don't care about, Vince. A couple Ruskies get charged, some money gets tossed around. What blows me away is how quickly people on our side will go from the DOJ's weaponized, they're evil, they're lying about everything. And then the second some pundit who has a job they want gets charged, they run and side with the DOJ. I don't understand why the right participates in left-wing ops every time they do one. Every time the right will participate.
Well, yeah, I mean, how many times do you have to hear the boy cry wolf before you're like, I don't think there's a wolf. Yes. I think this is a lie. This has happened over and over and over again. And by now, if you're not wise to it, I think it says something about your judgment, or it certainly says something about maybe your cowardice. I don't know. Right now, it's obvious to me, as it sounds like it's obvious to you, that we shouldn't in any way reflexively believe the Justice Department here, given that their behavior is in the run-up to each election, in the closing days of those elections, they always conjure up a Russian threat and then later tell us that, well, it wasn't quite as bad as we thought it was, or the evidence seems to suggest that there were no American interests even involved. And it's just always garbage. And what it is election interference. What it's meant to do, I think, two things. One, once again, suggests that Donald Trump or his allies are in bed with the Russians to get Trump elected, which is bogus. And two, it's meant to silence speech in the United States on issues that Americans genuinely have real opinions about. Like, maybe we shouldn't be spending so much money in Ukraine. Maybe we shouldn't be sending all of our weapon stockpiles to Ukraine. Maybe having so many hundreds of thousands, millions of people killed in Ukraine in the end won't actually redound to either their benefit or our benefit. That's a reasonable discussion to have in the United States. And what I'm seeing the Justice Department do in the last 24 hours is try and take that off the table and say, if you say that, well, you're just a Putin stooge.
Vince, the debate next week, September 10th. I just have a hard time seeing how this goes poorly for Trump. Dome can't speak about anything. She just doesn't know anything about anything. And now she won't have Trump interrupting her, which she was obviously banking on. So How does this go wrong for Trump? What am I not seeing?
I don't think it goes wrong for Trump. First of all, it's just brilliant that the Trump campaign, they first argued, they're like, hey, can we get three debates with Kamala? And Kamala's campaign response, no, no, no. You only get one debate with Kamala. Those were the rules you set up with Biden. Okay. All right, we're going to stick to the rules you set up with Biden then. And that includes muting the microphones. So the Trump campaign turns around and said, let's do that again. And I don't blame them because look how well it went the first time. Like, if you're going to try and duplicate a victory, you may as well look back at the strategy that worked in the past. And here's Kamala's problem. Biden's brain doesn't function, which is why he ran into the problems he did with trying to complete sentences before that microphone got muted. Kamala's brain doesn't function, not because of age, but she's just dumb and she's not good at communicating. And as a result, there's a high probability that she's going to be halfway through some sort of poetic development in her head, and it's not going to make it past the finish line. And that microphone will go off and Trump will be able to react and look at her and go, what was that? That was crazy. This is going to work great. And I think, you know, I hate to set expectations so low for Kamala, but I'm expecting a disaster out of her.
Me too. Vince, I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Come back soon. All right. He's right. She can't talk. You know what she needs? Pure talk. Actually, I don't know how pure talk would help Kamala talk. In fact, Kamala is the one who shouldn't switch to pure talk because her voice would come through so clearly on the phone. The other side would know that this woman's an idiot. You, though, you should switch to pure talk for sure. You shouldn't fund Verizon. You shouldn't fund AT&T. You shouldn't fund T-Mobile. These companies hate your guts. They use the money you pay them to work against your values. And not only is pure talk on the same 5G network, you'll save a ton of money. Go switch to Pure Talk. It's cake. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. It's like 10 minutes. Switch. We'll be back.
We have to reimagine safety and public safety in America. You know, the status quo has been to determine and create policy around the idea that more police equals more safety. Mm-hmm. And that's just wrong. We need to demilitarize police departments. So there's a lot in this conversation, but at its core, one of the issues that I think we should all agree on is that it is old thinking, it is outdated, and is actually wrong and backward to think that more police officers will create more safety.
Yeah, that's old thinking. I wonder what Brandon has to say about this. Joining me now, host of the Officer Tatum Show, which is huge out there, my friend Brandon Tatum. Hey, Brandon, why are you so old in your thinking?
Well, I tell you what, I'd rather be old in my thinking and correct than be new in my thinking and dumb. I don't understand how any rational person thinks that less police officers make things more safe. You know, in the totality of, you know, what we're speaking of is that when you are in law enforcement or law enforcement agencies are available to proactively police, we see crime go down in a tremendous way. I remember when they used to do stop and frisk. People didn't like it. They felt they were targeting black people, but the crime was down and guns were off the streets. And when people have never served in law enforcement, they don't talk to any law enforcement officers. They don't really talk to citizens in the community. They say outlandish things like Kamala Harris. There's no way whatsoever that the math will math up to equate that less police officers will somehow make people more safe and get criminals off the streets.
Brandon, these people are trying the best they can now to try to back off that defund the police thing a little, but it's very obvious that's how the left thinks now. That's the Democrat position. It may not be politically popular in September right before an election, but that's how all these people think.
1,000%, Jesse. Listen, when someone says that we need less police, and also they talk about demilitarizing police, I'm going to keep it clean because I'm a good Christian man. This woman has no idea what she's talking about. If you had asked Kamala Harris, however you say her name, and any of these other progressives, what do they mean by demilitarizing police? Do you not want police to have weapons? Do you not want them to have body armor? Like, what militarization in policing that is available to law enforcement that you don't want them to have? When an active shooter occurs, do you not want them to have the adequate amount of equipment? When they're doing a search warrant on a dangerous criminal or potentially a terrorist, because we know that they're right here in the United States of America, Venezuelans are already taking over parts of Colorado, Do you not want them to be equipped? If a terrorist attack happened here in the States, the military don't respond to that. It's going to have to be local municipalities that respond to these threats. Do you not want them to have AR-15s? Do you not want them to have the advantage? These people are so disingenuous because they are behind walls and gates and guarded communities, and they're protected by Capitol Police and also other tactical law enforcement officers. Vice President Harris, she's protected by the Secret Service. That means she has security, armed, trained security, 24 hours a day to make sure that she's safe. She's not going to get robbed in San Francisco. She's not going to get robbed in the south side of Chicago or in a drive-by shooting. These people do not understand what the everyday American is experiencing and what's necessary to protect and serve.
Brandon, do you think they don't understand, or do you think they really just genuinely enjoy burning this place down from behind their gates? I waver back and forth between they're completely naive and they're just malicious little demons who enjoy watching poor people suffer.
I think it's a combination of two things. I think some people may be genuine in their approach and they're just completely wrong. They're out of touch with reality. Look, if you've never been to an inner city community, you never lived in an inner city community, it's hard for you to really diagnose what's really going on there. And so some of these politicians are so out of touch because they've been politicians their whole life. They don't live a regular life. So they are just going off sound bites and what they think the people want to hear. Then you have those who are actually malicious. They hate America. They hate the idea of God, and they want to dismantle every single thing that we're made of. And in doing so, they want a ruling class and a peasant class. They want to be the people that consume all the money. They want to have all the wealth, have all the access to security and safety, and they want the peasants to be dependent on them forever. They don't want us to have guns. They don't want us to have autonomy. They want us to be under their thumb, like you see in communist China and other places like that. That's what they want as an end result in America, and that's what they're pushing for, you know, slowly but surely.
Yeah, no doubt. This video, I'm sure you remember the video of the illegal kicking the cop when he's down in Times Square. God protect the NYPD. Well, now, Brandon, we're finding out they're really going to drop the hammer on this guy. He might get a year in jail and maybe deported. Why would you even be a big city cop anymore? I'd be out of there. I'd be on a plane to Florida tomorrow.
That's why I'm not a cop anymore, and I would never go back to law enforcement I'll never go back to law enforcement in particular cities that don't care about their police officers. There are many cities around the country and many municipalities and counties that actually care about their police officers, and I'd say go there, travel there, lateral to those agencies because they respect and they care about you. NYPD, you can forget about it, man. If you're not in law enforcement because God has called you to do that, you shouldn't be in law enforcement because you're not going to get paid enough to deal with all this mess. Listen, if you come over here and you are an illegal alien, that should be an aggravated charge on top of the things that you do here. Just say that you're a prohibited possessor, meaning you're a convicted felon. If you get caught with a gun in your possession, that's an aggravated charge. If you are a sex offender and you do a crime related to sex offense, you're going to get an aggravated charge because you're already a registered sex offender. Why can't we have aggravated charges for illegal aliens being in this country? If you come to America and you're here illegally, you shouldn't be here. You already broke federal law. You come and kick a cop in the head, that you should get maximum penalty. I would argue that you should spend a lot of time in prison or they should deport you immediately. But, and I will say this, the deportation is not as effective as imprisoning these people simply because they can just come back over here and reoffend.
Which they all do. All right, you covered this on your YouTube channel, but a lot of people haven't seen this yet. Take a look at this.
He said that he's already illegal. He already said that he went to...
Okay, hold on. Let's back up a little bit. First off, we're a sanctuary city. Even if he is legal here, we cannot call ICE
okay.
And report him.
But you still have to report that, right?
No, we don't. Because it's a sanctuary city. We do not report illegal, undocumented...
So you're going to let a person who went to prison, he committed a crime in America, who's illegal right now, you're going to let him go free right now to this elevator?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because we're a sanctuary city. I've arrested a double homicide suspect in this city before and let him walk out the door because we're a sanctuary city. We're not
going to
call ICE to come pick him up and deport him.
Brandon, what did I just... What did he say?
I think that the department needs to investigate him as an officer immediately. If you can't... There's a lot of things going on here. First and foremost, this is an example of a rookie cop who's the one that's not speaking, and then a lazy cop who's the one that is speaking. I watched this entire video, and one thing that struck me in this video is that this particular officer was so encouraged or adamant about this sanctuary status type stuff that he didn't even do an investigation. If someone is illegally in this country, even if you're a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state, you still have to investigate a crime. Now, the crime that's alleged here is a federal crime across international lines. So a municipal cop can arrest, but they have to do an investigation to pass it over to the FBI. The cop didn't even run his name. Just because he's illegal in this country, he didn't even run his name. Listen, this cop didn't even know if the gentleman that's reporting this is even telling the truth about his illegal status. That guy could have been a citizen and just, you know, promoting that he's illegal so people think that he can't be caught up. This guy may have a record. He may be wanted for murder. The cop didn't even run his name in the system, according to what I saw on the video. This is a complete failure in law enforcement, a failure in policy. If a man is illegal in this country, we should be able to detain this person, do an investigation as to his status, because he may be wanted internationally for murder and all kind of other things. You can't just let these people go. In Arizona, we had SB 1070 and people were out crying in the streets and protesting. We had the ability to slightly profile, which means that we get in a traffic stop or something and we talk to a person and they can't speak English. They don't have citizenship. They cannot produce an ID. They tell us they're from Mexico or somewhere else, not the United States of America. We have a right to run their name through Border Patrol. And there's been plenty of times, Jesse, that I've run someone's name and come to find out they're wanted. They need to be taken into custody. They are wanted for all kinds of crimes all over the world. And so this is an example of how these sanctuary states are just robbing the dignity of the American citizens to be safe and holding people accountable.
Brandon, I have to ask you before I let you go. Your YouTube channel has like 3.2 million subscribers. That's freaking enormous. How'd you do that? People want to grow their YouTube channel. What do they do? What's the Officer Tatum way?
The biggest thing is authenticity and consistency. I literally upload maybe two or three, sometimes five videos a day, and I just keep them coming, man. I'm on this all day long, 24 hours a day. I'm passionate about what I do, and I'm authentic. I just keep it real. One thing that I'll tell people that want to build their social media platform is don't chase the followers. Be yourself, and people that are like-minded will follow you. That's how it works.
Amen. Brandon, my brother, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on.
All right. We still have a lot. It's a huge show for you tonight. Now, after you watch such an amazing show like this one, I know it can be hard to get to sleep. You're just so excited about what you just saw. And that's where Beam comes in. Specifically, that's where Dream Powder from Beam comes in. You see, Dream Powder, it's hot chocolate that puts you to sleep. But more importantly, it's all natural stuff. So, yeah, you go to sleep. But when you wake up and feel like you had 7-8 hours of natural sleep, not that groggy, miserable, heavy feeling you get with everything else. You want the best night's sleep of your life? Of your life! Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly. That gets you 40% off. shopbeam.com/JesseKelly. We'll be back. One thing that drives me insane is Republicans being weak when it matters most. You can always count on Republicans to step up to the plate and do the right thing at the precise moment it's too late to do any good. Do you remember when St. George Floyd died? Every Republican out there now in the year of our Lord 2024 talks tough on crime. But do you remember right afterwards when the system was running another op against you? Remember Republicans like Lindsey Graham grabbing their ankles for all of it?
You had 8 years under President Obama, the Justice and Policing Act, none of it was taken up virtually. So let's knock that off. Their shopping list, for lack of a better term, of what to do compared to Tim's, there's a lot of overlap, but there's some real differences. And how do you hammer out those real differences? You talk to each other. I am more hopeful than I was before the hearing that there's going to be a genuine effort to bring reform to a problem that's been going on well before President Obama, And if we don't do something about it, it's going to go on well past President Trump. Thank you for your leadership, Tim.
When it mattered most, Republicans couldn't pour gas on that fire fast enough. Joining me now, a better Lindsey Graham. She doesn't lay down for these people. Lindsey Graham, she's an author of the book Targeted, One Mom's Fight for Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness. Lindsey, first of all, I'm sorry. It must be so freaking frustrating to share a name with that goober.
You know what? It is a little bit, but last night I got the honor of meeting Tucker Carlson, and when I told him my name was Lindsey Graham, he remembered it the rest of the night. So there's pros and there's cons.
I played that clip because that actually ties back to your story, all that George Floyd madness. Tell me your story. What's going on?
Listen, it was 4 years ago. I opened up my salon in Oregon against lockdowns. A lot of people remember. The government tried to shut me down, throw me in jail, fine me. They did ultimately fine me. But what really annoyed we the people was that the government threatened to take my three children when I opened up against lockdowns. And at the time, I had a six-week-old, a two-year-old, and a five-year-old. And that is me opening up my doors against COVID lockdowns in 2020, letting my first customer in 6 weeks. And, you know, that decision alone, it created this idea that I was this conservative activist, this icon, right? And I was not political before 2020 at all. And so when I opened, I opened that and I'm smiling and I'm happy. And I'm thinking to myself, everyone in America is going to understand that I have to work, that I'm not getting a paycheck. I don't want a paycheck from the government. I want to work for my paycheck. And when that happens, I got the full force of the leftist woke mob attacking me on a minute by minute basis. And I opened my phone and I opened my emails and I went, holy smokes, what in the world? I did not realize this would be political. And that was my great awakening. I went, these people want to kill me. They want my children to die of COVID on the left. And on the right, they're calling me a hero, which I didn't really expect either. I just think that this is my right to work. And the George Floyd riots started. And because I had become this conservative icon accidentally, Antifa had posted online, when you start burning down businesses, start with Glamour Salon and kick Lindsey Graham's butt. They used a more foul word. And I went, hold on a second. I want to do hair for a living. And then some guy died in another state that I don't even know of, a criminal. And you're going to burn down my salon after I just fought the government? And so I did a call to arms and 400 people showed up outside my salon in Oregon, patriots, biker gangs, veterans, 3%ers. And of course I became, quote, a white supremacist and a white nationalist because I didn't want my business burned down. And so that is ultimately how I got canceled in Oregon completely, lost all my businesses, moved to Arizona. But yeah, that's kind of the elevator pitch, if you will. That's how George Floyd, you know, ruined my life.
Tell me about moving to Arizona, because this is something I encourage people to do regularly on this show, my radio show. If you're in a blue state, as beautiful as Oregon is, gosh, I love Oregon. You can't exist behind enemy lines anymore, or you don't have any protection at any layer, any level.
Right. Yeah. So when I moved to Arizona, it was the greatest blessing of my life. I mean, I wish that I would have been strong enough to endure what was going on in Oregon. But like I said, I wasn't political. So this cancel culture, which is very violent, by the way, very violent, it had me hiding in my home with my shades drawn. Like, I didn't know if they were going to come to my house and attack my children. When I moved to Arizona, it seemed like I was fleeing. But really, it was like, you know what? My kids are safe. I'm safe. I feel like I can speak out now without worrying that, you know, a brick is going to get thrown through my salon window or that someone's going to come to my house at night. I felt safe. And so it actually emboldened me to speak up more. And so for anyone that's in a blue state and you can stay and you can fight, please do. But if you feel like you can't because your life is going to be threatened or your business or, you know, it's uncomfortable and it's unsafe, run for your life, find a good place for you to plant your family safely, and then go full bore. Because the leftists, they need it. They need us to fight back. They are little minions behind a keyboard. And when I got to Arizona and realized you guys aren't coming for me, I got louder and bolder, and I totally fell into being able to speak truth unapologetically and without fear.
Yes, you do. In fact, we have a little video of you. You see, Lindsay didn't move to Arizona and sit on her hands. Lindsay did what I've talked to you about. She moved to Arizona and she got freaking involved. Here's Lindsay dressed as a cat.
Hello, my name is Lindsey Graham, and I am a cat. Meow, meow. I'm not a woman dressed as a cat. I am a cat. By show of hands, I'm curious how many of you believe and confess that I'm a cat? Great. How many of you believe that your child or a child from this school would believe that I'm actually a cat? No one. You are right. Why? Because you are not stupid, and these children are not stupid. Children come to school to learn facts and truths about reality, including unchanging biological truths about science and nature, not to learn that they can change biological realities and become anything they want in the name of diversity.
Lindsay, how's it been being an activist, going from being a mom, salon owner, to now you are knee-deep involved in politics there? Has it been rewarding or has it been awful?
Oh my gosh, it's been so rewarding. I can't say enough about, and this is my entire testimony now, I can't say enough about the difference between working for a living and just trying to make money and going about my day intentionally ignorantly about politics, minding my own business. You know, I might have made a lot of money. I might have been a boss babe in Oregon. And, you know, that certainly affected me when I lost all of it and I kind of went through an identity crisis in Arizona. But when I wrote Targeted, like you showed earlier, God used that time to let me tell my story, not really so that I could be a best-selling book author or anything like that, but really to talk to me about, I've created you in this time, in this place for a purpose. And it is not to go to the salon every day and make a bunch of money. It's to use the voice that I gave you, the testimony that I gave you, the story that I gave you, to glorify me and to make a difference in this world. I was not making a difference in Oregon. I'm not saying all hairstylists aren't making a difference. I had a testimony that I wasn't sharing, so I wasn't making a difference. But when I moved to Arizona and I felt called to speak up, and I'd already lost everything, right? That's half the people's concern in America is, oh, if I speak up, I'm gonna lose my job, I'm gonna get canceled. I already got canceled. So when I moved to Arizona, I was like, well, now I can say whatever I want. What are you going to do? I don't have a job. I don't have a salon. I don't have anything you can cancel. It's been the greatest blessing in my life that I experience now true freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to say what I want without fear, freedom to know that my life has a bigger purpose than just going day to day and making money. And when I truly woke up to the problems more like spiritually and societally, I don't know if that's a word, in America, it was like, I couldn't possibly go back to just working and ignoring these things, especially with three kids. That cat video, my kids don't go to that school. They don't go to public school. That dude dressing as a woman has no effect on my family. But I felt like I have a voice. I got balls to go dress up as a cat and go there. Not literally, because I'm a conservative. I don't actually have balls. I can do this, and I can fight for other people's kids. If you're not going to go and speak up against this man and protect your children, then I will. And it's my pleasure, trust me, to dress up like a cat and tell a grown man, you know, you should not be using the little girls' restrooms at the school fairs. Like, you are vile. You are disgusting. And to know that that video made a difference, that speech made a difference, is so much more empowering and fulfilling than any other job that I could do.
Well, you've done well. You keep going. Her book is Targeted. Go pick it up, Lindsay. Appreciate you. You can come join me anytime. Appreciate it. All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. So I want to do two things really quickly. First, We have a special coming out actually on Barack Obama. Doesn't sound very timely, does it? It's very timely because he's the engineer behind so much of this. If you want to watch it 2 hours earlier than everyone else, you have to go subscribe to my YouTube channel. YouTube.com/JesseKellyDC. Go sign up. Enjoy that early. Also, it's National Cheese Pizza Day. Now, I don't eat cheese pizza because I'm a freaking American, but I do love pizza. And I just want to say that I was just in Florida and they had a pizza delivery boat delivering pizzas out on the water. I love this country. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.